if there was some survey work being done and some questions asked about identifiers for Christ, in other words, how would you identify Jesus? How would you characterize Jesus? Typically, some of the top responses that you get when people try to describe Jesus is this phrase, storyteller. There's something about Jesus' ministry, something about his teaching that people relate to, understand this aspect about stories. In fact, Philip Pullum, which is a writer, he's an author, but he's also a pretty devout atheist. He's pretty well known in those circles. He sits on a number of human boards and so forth. But a couple months ago back, he was doing a conference, in a literary conference, and he made the comment about Bible stories. Now, put this in context. Literary conference, atheist, and says this: that every child should read and know the stories of the Bible. Wait a minute, give me that again. Every child should read and know the stories of the Bible. And he says specifically the stories that Jesus told. And he uses this phrase, Jesus is a fantastic storyteller. He said, take in consideration the guy that's on the side of the road, the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, you can't help but hear the story and remember the story and have an impact on you. And the same thing is you share what you've heard, it has a duplicate impact on somebody else. And so what Philip says is that this Jesus is this fantastic storyteller, somebody outside of the faith. Jesus is known for his stories. And so this morning I want us to spend a few moments in Mark chapter 4 and specifically looking at Jesus as the storyteller. Now, remember in the past couple of weeks when we've talked about some characteristics of being like Jesus, because remember, this is our study. We want to study to be like Jesus. We want to see the character of Jesus. We want to see how he lived his life. And you remember in week one, we talked about purpose, and we talked about break and how the break is important in the purpose. In week two, we talked about incarnation and engaged in people's lives. We talked about that phrase, Jesus came not for the healthy, but for the sick. And last week, we talked about teaming when he chose the 12 disciples and the aspect of a small group, the aspect of a team and its influence on our life. So we see those characteristics. We understand those a little bit and hopefully are working to apply those in our life. But today we're talking about storytelling. And when I talk about storytelling, I'm not talking about lying, okay? Some of us say, oh, he fibbed. He told a what? Story. That's not what we're talking about. But storytelling is simply being able to share the story of the gospel of Christ, specifically to where you are and what you know and what you've experienced. And so this idea of storytelling, we pick up in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, and I want to read through here for you, and I know it's kind of a long segment or a long passage, but let's read through it together. And it's in Mark chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1, because I want you to see kind of the progression, some of the conversation that Jesus is having. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. So get the picture. Here's Jesus. He's gotten into a small boat. They're not very large typically. And so he's sitting on the side of the boat just a little bit out into the water, and yet the shoreline of this lake, of the sea, it's full of people. And in verse 2, and he was teaching them many things in parables or stories. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. the reality is in that crowd, there are two kinds of people. There are people that will hear what Jesus says and appreciate it and understand it and walk away with something. But in the crowd, there will also be some people that perhaps are disinterested. They're not perhaps in tune to what Jesus is saying. And so it's recognizable that there are these two different groups of people there. And Jesus encourages the ones that hear to hear it and to apply it. And then he goes on. And it says in verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so that tells us that you got the 12 there, plus Jesus and plus some other folks as well. And what these 12 did is they asked him about the parables. They inquired, they questioned, they engaged in a conversation with Jesus about these stories that he was telling. Now remember, we have this one story, but he told other stories as well. And so the application will be for this one story. And it says in verse 11, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now, I want to stop here because I think this has a huge impact on what we do with storytelling as believers. Some might interpret this passage to simply mean that Jesus tells parables to further condemn, to further judge, and to further separate. But what we need to understand is that phrase in verse 12 that says, so that. Some scholars interpret it so that. Other scholars also interpret that same phrase as a result. So the idea here would be that as Jesus is teaching the parables, the purpose is not to bring judgment or to further separate, but the result will be to bring further separation. So Jesus is teaching parables not in a sense to further separate, though it will be a result of telling the story. Because as you back up into verse 9, you'll see where he says, he who has ears, let him hear. The idea, there are two different people there, remember. There are those that are listening, that are hearing and applying it, they're receiving it. There are those that are disinterested and are rejecting it. And so we go on and hear Jesus' explanation of this specific parable that he taught. And he said to them, do you not understand in verse 13 this parable? How then will you understand the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then when tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now Jesus goes on and begins to share illustration, analogy, even story again. And he says to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises day and night, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how, and the earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? Is it like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds of the earth, yet when it is sown it grows up and becomes larger than all the other garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Now here's our focus, verse 33 and 34. With many such parables, Jesus spoke. The word to them, the instruction. So with many such stories, he spoke the instruction to him as they were able to hear and to receive it. He did not speak to them without stories, but privately, notice this, privately with his own disciples, he explains everything. Jesus is an incredible storyteller. People that don't even follow Christ acknowledge him for his giftedness in telling stories. And if it's our desire to be like Christ, it would be our desire to be able to tell stories. And it's part of us this morning to identify what kind of stories we're talking about, but perhaps maybe we need to see a glimpse of what stories are about. What does this incorporate? What does this have in it, in and of itself? What are the dynamics of the story? When we talk about story, what are the things that we observe about Jesus and his storytelling ability? The first thing that we see about Jesus and his storytelling ability, that when Jesus speaks, he speaks about gripping stories. And when I talk about gripping stories, I'm not talking about suspenseful, on the edge of your seat as if you're wondering what's going to happen next. But gripping in such a way that people identify with the story that is being told. This is an agrarian culture. This is an agricultural culture. And so people are used to understanding these types of stories and understand the truth based in these stories. And so Jesus picks and uses things that people understand. They're gripping because they're identifiable. But Jesus also shares stories that personalize. They're abstract principles that are personalized in identity. He chooses stories that relate, stories that people have identity in. It's a story about character, circumstance, setting that people identify with. But two big pieces, I think, here are Jesus tells stories that create questions. Jesus tells stories that create questions. Remember, it says that Jesus spoke in parables to the crowd, but when he pulled his disciples together and those closest to him, he began to explain them to him. And I can see the conversation now as they've retreated together and they're sitting or reclining around a table, or they're in a room together and they're talking, and all of a sudden they ask Jesus, a hand goes up here and a hand goes up there, and they begin to converse and talk with Jesus, and so they begin to ask Jesus questions. Let us not get so dogmatic in our approach to faith that we cannot entertain questions people have. Questions are good. Part of our strategy as a church, when we talk about Cool Spring, is all about living connected. You know this is coming, right? Connected to each other, connected to our community, most of all connected to Christ. We link, learn, and live. All of that part of learning is creating a safe place for people to ask questions. We don't have all the answers, but may it always be safe to ask the question. And so Jesus tells stories in such a way that it elicits questions. But Jesus always tells stories in a way that creates conversation. And so may the stories that we use and the stories we tell create conversation amongst ourselves and with others that we're sharing. And so as Jesus is this master storyteller, and he's demonstrating his ability to tell stories, he's telling stories that are gripping, stories that are personal, stories that relate, stories that cause questions, stories that invite, stories that give listeners space to consider. They have options in order to consider what they're hearing and what they're going through and what they're talking about. But also stories that create memorable moments, that they remember where they are, they remember what they heard. And I think there's another piece to this whole story thing that I think is important. And maybe it's the way Jesus illustrates this. Jesus knows there are two different kinds of people out there as he's telling the story. He knows that there are people that are in tune, that are receiving the information, the story, and discerning it and applying it and understanding it, and they're engaging in the conversation. They're coming with their questions. And then there's a whole other crowd that's completely disinterested, disengaged, not even in the least bit anyway concerned or in tune. You know, sometimes I think when we share our stories and talk about our stories, we get really concerned about those that are disinterested. Do you know, Jesus doesn't demonstrate any type of overt concern there. It's just a matter of he's sharing the story. He's sharing and he's telling the story. Whoever hears, hears. He's sharing in such a way to share truth, in such a way to engage people in conversation. Recognizing the fact there'll be some that are disinterested, some that will walk away from the conversation. If there's ever a principle about this, it's don't fret about those that walk away from the conversation. I mean, now, as a person, I do that. And some of you do as well. But what Jesus demonstrates here is a faithfulness to tell the story. And I think that's where we as believers need to make sure that we're camping out in, is we're faithful to share the story. We're faithful to tell the story. Realizing there's some that will hear and some that will not. And here's the kicker to this. You're never going to save anybody. Do you know that? You're never going to cause somebody to commit and give their life to Christ. Nothing you say will ever cause somebody to commit to Christ and to choose Christ and His grace. Do you know who does that? It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible for convicting. The Holy Spirit is responsible for turning hearts towards Christ. But it's our job to remain faithful to tell the story. And to be artful storytellers. And not get so in depth with our own ability to tell the story that we forget about the one that truly causes conversion, change, transformation, renewal. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so when I think about stories, I think about that piece because I think it's a powerful piece to the telling of the story. So maybe the question is, what are stories today? What qualifies as stories? I don't know how creative some of us are about sharing stories and analogies and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a very creative person, so it's hard to sit down and create stuff. So you kind of take and borrow, beg and steal, whatever you want to call it, ideas and things that you hear and all that kind of stuff. You come up with stories and things. You know, that's cool, that's fine, but what is it that relates to stories today? Stories today are, for example, your story. What is it that Christ has done in you? What's your story of transformation? What's your story of change? What's your story of salvation? What is it that Christ did in you? That's your story. That's a story to share. That's a part of storytelling. What are the experiences that you have with Christ? What are the things Christ has done in your life? How is it that how has He moved and worked and done incredible things in your life? What are the ways in which you can give honor and glory to Him through sharing the story and telling the story of the experiences that you've had? What are the moments of truth that God's spoken to you specifically about a specific truth, an application that you've given, that He's been given, that He's given you, and that you've applied to your life? These are all stories, as well as the most important story, and that's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these all are categorized as stories. So the question is, what's our application? What's the take home? What's the walk away today? As we talk about Jesus as a storyteller, what are the things that we learn about story that we're able to apply to our life and to apply to our context and apply to where we are in our community, in our home, in our neighborhoods, all that kind of stuff? Well, what are the things that we can take away? See, one of the things I think we can take away is that when we tell the story, we're relating the gospel creatively. And I think that's what Jesus teaches us here. It's this creativity in relaying the story. It's this creativity in relaying the gospel. See, I think the challenge is for us is to be creative as best we can in relaying the story, and relaying the truth. What is it that Christ has done for us? What's the gospel? What are the stories of God's work in our life? What are the things that we can share creatively. See, I think it's interesting, the dynamic of culture that we see today is very different than it was 30 years ago. It's very different than it was 5 years ago. And what worked 10 years ago doesn't work today, and what works 5 years ago didn't work today. It's about creativity and sharing the message, creativity and living the message, creativity and sharing the story. So how can we be creative in sharing the story? Just a thought about creativity. No secret here. I love coffee. I like brewed coffee, like lattes, like all that kind of stuff. Just give me caffeine, man, and I am in, you know. But I have found the ultimate website for coffee lovers. Did you know that there was a study done in a university to the north of us that figured out that people are their most creative when they're in an environment with about 70 decibels of sound. 70 decibels. If you back down to about 50, you lose your creativity. If you move up to about 100, you lose your creativity. And it's somewhere in about the 70 mark. And you know what they figured is the perfect environment for a 70 decibel noise level for creativity? Do you know what it is? It's a coffee shop. How cool is that? I mean, that's like the perfect creative place to go to. And here's the kicker on this. They have created a site, and you know, some of you can't, you know, sometimes I escape to a coffee shop and put my headphones on and work. And I agree, I feel like I'm most creative in those environments. But some of us can't always escape to the coffee shop, you know? Go figure. Why not? You know, but we can't do that in our line of work. And so what they've done, there's a group out of VCU business management students that have created a website that said, if you can't go to the coffee, we'll bring the coffee to you. And the website is Coffitivity. And if you're on Twitter or whatever, I tweeted something out this morning about it, but it's coffitivity.com, I think it is. And what happens is when you pull the site up, this is so cool, they've like went into a coffee shop and they recorded hours of mute sound in the background, the whooshing of the espresso machine and all that kind of stuff. So you can sit at your desk with your headphones on and listen to the sounds of the coffee shop and also put your own music on, which is so cool because that's like I sit, sometimes I go, I have my headphones on and I can hear the music and it's just kind of like this train going. You know, you hear it in the background and I still hear kind of the whooshing of the machine and the noise of the people, but I still have my music in. You can create that same environment for right where you're at this afternoon if you want to. I think that's cool. But the whole premise is creativity. See, I think when Jesus is alive and walking through a time when he's doing his earthly ministry, he's in a time where oral tradition is phenomenal. But storytelling is a little unique. So Jesus shares stories. He finds a creative bent in order to share the story through storytelling. See, Jesus demonstrates creativity. I see in our own life the importance of demonstrating creativity in sharing the story. So when I look at the storyteller, the master storyteller, I see about relating the gospel creatively. I love this. Picasso has this phrase. It's kind of interesting, this quote. He said there are painters who transform the sun to a yellow spot. And you've seen that, where people paint landscapes and paint pictures, and they got like a little yellow spot for the sun. But he said there are others who, with the help of their art and their intelligence, transform a yellow spot into the sun. God gave you a story. In fact, God gave many stories in this room. Stories to creatively share and tell the gospel, to lead people to a point of redemption and to lead them to a point of saving grace where they trust and follow. There again, it's not your story that does it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But God gave us stories to tell. See, I think about what I learned from Jesus as the master storyteller. It's relating with creativity, but I also think it's about relating conversationally, relating with conversation. May we always be a place, and may we always be people that invite conversation, that invite questions, open, honest questions no matter how heretical or how crazy they may sound. But may we be open to conversing about questions and having the conversation. See, I think that's where Jesus pulls his disciples. He illustrates this so well. And invites conversation, invites the questioning. And I think that's about sharing the story. We're wanting to share stories in such a way that it brings about conversation and questions. Some of us are so dogmatic sometimes in our approaches. Some of us. Let's leave room for the conversation. Let's leave room for the questions. Let's tell stories that way. But also, I think as I'm reading Jesus and seeing him in this passage, he's relating the story compellingly. In other words, he's relating it in such a way that it relates, that it's compelling. See, so many in this room have stories that are compelling, that are relatable. Because of where you've been and where you've walked, and you can share specifically of God's grace in that moment, God's work in your life at that moment. These stories are compelling. See, what God teaches in this passage to me is that as we walk away from this passage, we understand the importance of relating the gospel compellingly, that we understand relating the gospel conversationally. We understand about relating the gospel creatively. Take a chance and share your story. Take a chance on some unsuspecting soul and share your story. If we're going to live like Jesus, we need to learn to tell stories. Stories that draw, stories that relay truth, stories that open up questions and embrace conversation, stories that lead people to a place where they understand, where they seek, where the Spirit moves. Take a chance. Tell a story. See what God does. That's living like Jesus. So would you pray with me, Father? We recognize that there are specific traits, specific characteristics that you demonstrate in your word. And specifically with your son, as he walked on this earth in those 3 years of earthly ministry, God, we learn so much from him. We learn about life and living. And Lord, I recognize that in this day and time we live in a unique age. A lot of stuff going around. It's very different from which some of us grew up in. And yet we realize that the story is as relevant today as it was 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 years ago. Help us to relay it creatively. Help us to relay it conversationally, and help us to relay it compellingly. Father, you've given us each a story. It's a story to be shared, not to be left untold. So give us a time this week that we can share. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.